Hello, and welcome to Jolly's Fall 2015 podcast series. This is Megan E. Barnes, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open journal housed in the Language and Literacy Department in the College of Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Frank Serafini about his article titled Representing Reading, an Analysis of Professional Development Book Covers, written in collaboration with Danny Kaczorski and Maria Goff, all from Arizona State University. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. I'm looking forward to learning more about your work. I'd love for you to start off by telling us a bit more about what motivated you to write the article.
When we first started talking about this, it was at an LRA conference quite a few years ago. We were looking at some of the covers for the books that were on display, and having written quite a few books for Heinemann, the decisions of what pictures to put on the cover and what they represented started getting us thinking of what kinds of representations of literacy practices were we putting out to the world by these covers. And as we looked on them, it was always interesting looking at the photographs, especially that included children and adults in the act of some literacy practice, what you would take away from looking at these, especially if you weren't, closely related to the field of literacy education. So we started collecting these covers from catalogs for one specific year from nine different publishers. I guess we would consider them sort of progressive literacy education publishers, and started taking a look at all the covers they had put out during one calendar year.
And what challenges did you encounter as you conducted your research? And what advice would you give to people who are doing the same kind of research and either avoiding or resolving challenges of this sort?
Well, the first challenge is realizing that all images, like text, has plural meanings and is always contextualized by the situatedness of the person looking, viewing the pieces. We had been working with Jillian Rose's work and always trying to consider the sites of production, the sites of the image, and the sites of reception, though we didn't realize the sites of production in this particular article. The second challenge was that we realized that we wanted to make a case for why we were selecting certain covers to go in more depth with. So we wanted to not only have sort of some frequency counts or what we use as qualitative content analysis to decide which covers to look at. We also wanted to try and develop a visual guide or analytical template for looking more deeply at the individual covers. So we started out by looking at 150 covers approximately from these nine publishers that had the word reading and or reading comprehension in the title. And then once we organized these covers into four different types of literacy practices, we then selected some representative samples from each of the four practices to use for a more in-depth analysis. And developing that template, that analytical guide, was challenging. We based it primarily on Halliday and systemic functional linguistics and how Kress has taken that work up in the analysis of visual images. So trying to decide which images to look at without just picking ones we thought were interesting, and then trying to find an analytical tool for looking at those images more in depth was probably the two primary challenges for our study.
Great. And in what ways did your study challenge you to rethink and reconceive the theories you call on to frame your research?
Outside of education, we wanted to go and look at other theoretical frameworks and analytical perspectives for looking at visual images. So one of the challenges we had was rethinking the theories outside of traditional reading education, literacy education. So we were reading in visual and multimodal literacies, content analysis, social semiotics. And we really had to expand some of the frameworks that we use to look at these beyond traditional literacy theories. And then the second challenge for us was, having all been classroom teachers, it was too easy for us to identify what these pictures were, because we had such an extensive background in literacy practices in classrooms, and we had to really challenge ourselves to reveal our own positionality as researchers, as we tried to make the familiar strange, so to speak, of what was going on these covers. And so, you know, what we could say was obvious, you know, denotative, and then what was connotative from these images was always challenging for us to try to unpack our own position as literacy educators and then as researchers as we look at these images. That was certainly one of our challenges.
And finally, what are the specific takeaways you hope that readers get from your article?
I think we want people to realize that there are lots of representations of literacy practices, and they are everywhere in our field. They are represented in the instructional manuals that go out with Basel readers. They are part of the online lessons that we have categorized through Read, Write, Think and other Annenberg lessons. They are also represented on the cover of these professional development books that we use a lot. And we wanted people to start making some of these representations problematic. And so we're hoping that people begin to realize that these representations do affect how we look at and consider and enact literacy practices, and that there isn't a hegemonic focus on these things, that we need to make them problematic and rethink some of these traditional practices in light of current multimodal, visual, and digital environments and the lives of children who are coming to our classrooms. It was very interesting how traditional the literacy practices were on these covers, even though they were published after 2010. And so it's interesting how even the images, much like the images we often see in movies and in books, of what classrooms look more like things from the 50s and 60s than what we would expect in the 21st century.
I think you definitely have given our readers a lot to think about, and I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today. We're very excited to share your work with our Jolly readers this fall.